All right, good morning. My name is Gene. It's great to be here today. I really want to thank the Firm Foundation Church family for welcoming us to share in God's Word this morning. When we were singing, "I'm waiting on my Lord," and all of a sudden the tent started to fly away, I thought that didn't take long. I'm going to take this too. I agree with Brian. I like to hold this in case any of you try to rush in the front. I can have something to defend myself with. All right, let's go to the Lord. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to share in your word this morning. We pray, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, you would let it accomplish all that it wants to accomplish in us, Father. Help us through it to become more like Jesus. If there's anyone here that doesn't know him as Savior and love him as we do, we pray, Lord, that you would convict them through your Spirit and draw them into a relationship with you. Give you all the praise now and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Bible is a record of God repeatedly reaching toward man. And we see that God walked in the Garden of Eden. We know this story very well. Walked together in fellowship with the first man and the first woman. And we saw how things went terribly wrong when the serpent, Satan, whispered lies into the ears of Eve, and then she and her husband ate from the fruit that God had forbidden them to eat. It's not that God stopped loving them. He just couldn't have fellowship with them anymore because God is holy, more holy than we can even imagine. So he loved them, but all throughout the Old Testament, we see God over and over again reaching for his people in different ways. In the course of time, he raised up a people for himself, a people that he wanted to reach the world through, that he wanted to communicate his message through, Israel. And we have a lot to read about Israel. They were a stubborn people. They were stiff-necked. They were sinful. They often angered God. They were prone to rebellion. But God continued to reach for them. And he raised up a man, an extraordinary man, probably the greatest leader that ever lived, with the exception of our Lord Jesus, Moses. And he was unique. God spoke to Moses in a way that he didn't speak to other men. He would communicate exactly what he wanted to communicate to the people through Moses. Moses would go down and Moses would speak to the people, "Thus says the Lord." There was a great separation, though, between God and man because of God's holiness. God is holy and we are not. One day, though, it's an extraordinary thing. God called Moses to a meeting up on the mountain. It's one of the most important moments in human history with respect to God trying to reach, interacting with sinful man. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 3, Moses went up to God and the Lord called him up to the mountain. And while he was there on Mount Sinai, God spoke with him. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm coming to you in a thick cloud that the people may hear what I speak and may believe also in you forever. And on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all of the people." Now, this was different. God obviously couldn't reveal himself to man the way that we reveal ourselves to one another. God is so holy, we can't look upon God and live. But in some way, this was different. God was coming down. God was going to meet with people. He was going to come to them in some way. And remember, as I said, God is so holy, we cannot even begin. It's beyond our imagination to imagine how holy God is. He is so other than us. Although he couldn't manifest himself directly, he was coming down to them in a thick cloud, he said. And because God is so holy, there would have to be boundaries. And so he said to Moses, "You shall set limits for the people all around, saying, 'Take care not to go up to the mountain or to even touch the edge of it, because whoever touches the mountain will be put to death.'" Moses went down and he prepared the people. And then the Bible tells us on the morning of the third day, they were, listen to it, listen to the words, listen to the description. Imagine you're at the foot of that mountain. God is coming down. And on the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all of the people in the camp trembled. I should say so. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it with fire. God was in the house. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln. The whole mountain trembled greatly. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called to Moses, and Moses went up. I don't know if I could have. No more terrifying picture of the distance between God and man could possibly be imagined. A lot of things happened in the course of all of this, but later in the story, God gave Moses 10 commandments. We know these. They're very famous. They're the foundation of all great societies. God expected the people to keep these. The people said they would keep these. They seemed simple enough. They broke every single one of them. And so have you, and so have I. Maybe not every one of them, but certainly at least one of them, and probably more than. Let me just throw a couple at you really quick. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for God will not, listen to it, God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Have you ever used God's name in vain? Ever in anger shout a GD or say Jesus Christ because you were frustrated? Well, that's a problem. Because the scripture says God will not hold him guiltless who does that. Or how about this one? You shall not murder. Hopefully you haven't murdered anyone. You shall not commit adultery, sexual purity here. You shall not steal. Ever take something that didn't belong to you? Even something as insignificant as a paper clip that you didn't pay for? That's a problem. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Ever lie about somebody else? Somebody that you didn't like? Ever try to defame another person? Well, stay tuned because you might be in trouble. 10 little commandments that sound so simple, but they broke every single one of them. And the passage ends like this, folks. Listen to it. Now, when all of the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and they trembled and they stood afar off and they said to Moses, "You speak to us. And we will listen, but do not let God speak because we'll die." And so God met with his people from a mountain. If they or even one of the animals touched that mountain, it would die. The meeting was characterized by thunder and separation and lightning and thick clouds and obfuscating smoke. The atmosphere was one of terror. The message was clear. God is not like us. God is holy and we're not. Even Moses said, "I am trembling with fear," according to Hebrews chapter 12. Moses delivered the Ten Commandments, which express God's requirements for the purity of the people, but as eager as they were to keep them, or say they were going to keep them, they did not. They could not. Why? Well, why does a fish breathe water? Because it's a fish. Why do sinners sin against God? Because they're sinners. They couldn't keep the law. The law was given. They sound simple enough. Don't steal. Don't kill anybody. Don't have any other God before me. Don't make idols. They broke them over and over and over again. The mountain is a picture of death and hopelessness and helplessness. Not because God's demands are unreasonable, but because the people stained by Adam's sin could not keep them. They were in trouble, and so are we. Fast forward 1,500 years. Another mountain, same people. Israel, still stiff-necked. Still obstinate. But a preacher has come, and this preacher claims to be the Messiah. He even claims to be God. And he proves it by doing God things. The rabbis taught that when the Messiah comes, he would be the only one who could heal a man that had actually been born blind. Jesus does that in John chapter 9. The rabbis taught that when the Messiah comes, he'd be able to heal a leper. Do you know that there's a whole chapter in Leviticus chapter 14 that tells us how to cleanse a leper? The priest had never used that chapter. There had never been a healed leper in the history of Israel until Jesus came. He comes and heals 10 of them in one day. The rabbis taught that it would be possible to resuscitate someone from the dead, but nobody but the Messiah would be able to bring someone back from the dead who had been dead for more than 3 days. Jesus does that in John 11 by raising his friend Lazarus from the dead. Could it be that this is God with us? Well, up on the mountain, Matthew chapter 5, up on the mountain, God goes to meet with people again. Now, I don't know about you. This is another meeting of God and his people, and I've got a feeling that the words are going to be pretty harsh. I mean, I'm waiting for the smoke. I'm waiting for the thunder. I'm waiting for the lightning. Jesus sits down to speak. What does he say? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, they'll be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Watch this. Blessed are the pure in heart, they'll see God. It seems so different than that first meeting. It says other things too. It's quite a sermon. I've never preached a sermon anything like this, and nobody else in the history of the world has. It's the greatest sermon ever preached. He talks about making oaths and retaliation and divorce and loving those that don't love us and giving to those in need and praying, and that we should trust God and that we shouldn't be anxious, as we heard earlier. And he talks about fasting and laying up treasures in heaven and not on earth, and not judging others. And doing unto others what we'd like them to do to us. He warned us to build our spiritual house on rock. And if we build our spiritual house on rock instead of sand, when the storm comes, our spiritual house won't blow away. And by building our house on rock, he meant not only hearing his words, but doing his words. He had a lot to say in this sermon, quite a sermon. And this mountain is different in many ways. There's no smoke. There's no lightning. There's no trembling. There's no thick clouds. It's so different, in fact, that you might think that it's a different God who's speaking to the people. But it's not. God had become a man and was dwelling among us that he might reach for us once and for good. Well, on this mountain, Jesus didn't wipe away that law he gave the first time. He didn't come and say, don't worry about all that stuff you can't keep. As a matter of fact, it's a little remarkable. Not only did he not wipe away the things of the law, he made them worse. Listen to it. You heard it said, you shall not murder. Yeah, we heard it said. We just read it. That's the sixth commandment. But I say to you, everyone who's angry at his brother is liable for judgment, and whoever says you fool is liable for the hell of fire. Well, wait a minute, Jesus, that's harder. It's not enough. I can't kill that guy that I'd like to. I can't even be angry at him. Then Jesus goes on to say, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, seventh commandment. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intention has already committed adultery with her. And wait a minute, Jesus. This is not helpful. If I couldn't do the first thing, I certainly can't do the second. You're making things much more difficult. Jesus, you're leaving us guilty under the law. And Jesus says, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Because I haven't come to wipe away the law, I've come to fulfill it. The difference between that first mountain and the second one is the first mountain showed us that we can't keep it. The second mountain showed us that Jesus could, and that he was going to the cross to do that. Another time that God met us at the mountain. I wanted to read you this. Here's what Jesus said in that Sermon on the Mount. Do not think that I come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say unto you that heaven and earth will not pass away until not one will not pass away from the law until all is fulfilled. So here's what I want to say. There was no thunder. There was no lightning. There was no smoke. None of those things were there. It was a different temperature. It was a different weather. It was a different atmosphere. But something was there that was in that first meeting. Terror. Now you say, wait a minute, terror? In the Sermon on the Mount? Am I reading the same text that you're reading? Well, you listen to these words and tell me if they sound terrifying to you. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount. The gate is wide that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. Please say many.
Many.
Those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Those are terrifying words. You say, okay, yeah, it's kind of terrifying. But maybe not terrifying. Okay, try this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Just stop there for a second. You mean I can go around spending my life saying, Lord, Lord, and there's a possibility that I won't get into heaven? I'm calling him Lord, Lord. And Jesus says, don't fool yourself. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then he says this, on that day many will say to me, say many.
Many.
On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Watch this. Did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons and do many wonderful works in your name? Friends, this is religious talk. Prophesying. Casting out demons, doing many wonderful works in the Lord's name. And that person, Jesus said, will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't I do many wonderful works in your name? And I will say, away from me, I never knew you. That's terrifying, isn't it? So here's what I'd like to say in closing here this morning. We're all going to say yes or no to God today in some way. In passages like this, the Lord calls us to examine our life. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can fix that today. Come to him by faith alone, in Christ alone. Put your faith in him. Run to him for rescue. Beg him to help you. He will. But you're in trouble. You are in so much trouble. You could leave this place today. You could be hit by a car. The freakiest thing could happen to you. You have got this time right now to make your peace. And you say, well, you know, I'll go there and I'll plead ignorance. And you know you won't. Because even if you haven't heard the gospel before today, you've heard it now. So if you don't know Jesus for as your Savior for salvation, run to him. Beg him. Tell him you believe that he died for your sins. But I want to say this word to those of us who feel like we have a relationship with the Lord. Be honest with yourself. I need to be honest with myself. Is the fruit that is in my life consistent with somebody who's been changed because he's encountered Jesus Christ? We can have all the religious language we want. We can go through life saying, Lord, Lord. It's repeated twice for emphasis. Not all, Jesus said, who come to me and say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. So this is a sobering day for all of us. I hope I haven't gone over my time here, but this is a sobering day for all of us. For believers, it's a time of revival. That means a time of introspection, a time of going before ourselves, looking at our faith and saying, am I in the faith? Am I walking with the Lord? Is this genuine? That's a healthy thing for us to do. And if you don't know Jesus, he went to the cross and he died in your place. God made his son who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Here's what Jesus said. Let's not water it down because he didn't. John chapter 8 and verse 24 says, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So let's take this seriously today, folks, because this is more serious than a heart attack. Amen? God bless you.